Australian Film Finance Corporation. In association with the New South Wales Film and Television Office. And Showtime Australia present. A Gannon Films Empress Road production. Starring Billy Connolly, Judy Davis, from a swirling sea of billowing clouds comes the film's title, The Man Who Sued God. Now an aerial perspective of a small fishing boat making steady progress through a slate-grey sea. On board in the control room is the skipper, a man in his late 40s with long, straggly hair. A mongrel dog watches him from its position at the prow. The surroundings are cluttered but homely, with boat paraphernalia sitting alongside a guitar, bottles of wine, children's paintings, and a photo of a smiling young girl. The man heads up onto the deck as the boat is approaching some land. He leans back against the wheelhouse, which is painted a pale blue and white like the hull, and looks towards the horizon. Wearing a crisp white shirt, he surveys his surroundings with a satisfied smile. With the land drawing closer, the boat sways from side to side as it bobs its way through the water. A break in the dark clouds reveals shafts of dazzling sunlight that illuminate the boat's progress into port. Like a spotlight.
In the latest weather news, a severe storm warning has been issued for all areas along the eastern coast. The Weather Bureau has also warned of high winds and the possibility of flash flooding in low-lying areas. Farmers are advised that a sheep weather alert is current. In other news...
What's wrong with you, Arthur? Surely you're not scared of a wee bit of sheep weather.
Now moored, the skipper reaches into a cabinet of water on deck and fishes out a live lobster. Arthur watches him and barks.
I know, that's where I'm going!
He fetches a bag from the wheelhouse.
Here we go. No time now.
He waves to a girl on the jetty.
Yep, nearly there, Arthur.
Having forgotten the lobster that's making a bid for freedom from a bucket on deck, the fisherman and Arthur head for land in a small motorboat. The man glances up at the sky, which is turning a broody grey.
Something tells me this isn't a very good day for fishing, Arthur. That's instinct, old son. This is a day for spaghetti, wine, and bones, of course.
He looks at the sky again. Soon after, he's slinging his bag onto the jetty.
Why, it's Princess Ornithorhynchus!
Why, it's Captain Ahab! How many did you catch?
Oh, millions! The hold's bursting with...
Shit! What?
I had a lobster for you, Mum. Hold that. Look after Arthur. I won't be long.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Not a second.
We're having chops. I hate lobster.
Tell your Mum to put the kettle on.
The young girl looks up at the brewing storm.
Dad! Come on, Arthur. Arthur! Stupid dog, come on! Arthur!
She looks up at the sky again, then goes to join the dog, who's standing at the end of the jetty barking in the direction of his master. The fishing boat is anchored in the middle of an open patch of water, not too far from the jetty. The motorboat's about halfway there when the engine cuts out.
Shit!
The girl pats the concerned dog. The thunder and streaks of lightning make the man check the skies again. His daughter looks worried. still stranded between his fishing boat and the jetty, and with the lightning getting faster and more furious, the man tries his dead motor again. He looks up and around him with a furrowed brow. Everything goes eerily quiet. A sudden burst of lightning strikes his fishing boat and it explodes in a massive ball of flames. Debris rains down on the man and a wooden stake stabs through his foot. Now, in hospital.
Let's have a look. That'll have to come off.
What?
The shoe.
Oh, God. What were you doing?
I was getting a bloody lobster for you.
Forceps, pliers, bone nibblers.
Bone nibblers? What the hell are bone nibblers?
You're a very lucky man.
Oh, yeah, it's been a brilliant day all round. Why don't you have a look at the prostate while you get the bone nibblers handy?
Is it the lightning got you?
Ah, too fast for lightning, mate.
Now, this could hurt a bit.
Oh.
Now with a crutch, the man, Steve, stands looking at his boat's debris in the water. Two anglers pass by.
Not going out today, mate.
Jesus, that's a real thigh slapper.
You need anything else?
No, we're fine, thanks, Jules.
Okay.
Things always go wrong for Dad. I feel sorry for him.
Do you now?
He's got no boat, no house, or you.
And they say people make their own luck.
That's stupid. Why would anyone make luck that bad?
Tell you what, man, the way I see it, the wind must have come howling up here and right underneath this one and buggered the whole issue. Place insured?
Yeah. You insured?
Oh, of course, aye. The old place stood up very well, though. Only I was going to rent one of your caravans, you know, till I get my new boat.
And take your pick.
I don't want to crowd you, you know, you and Jules, me being the ex and everything.
You won't.
Jules, know you guaranteed my loan.
You sure you're insured? I mean, have you looked at your policy?
It's in the boat.
A rather geeky-looking man with a briefcase arrives.
The premium's up to date. I checked.
So did we.
It's comprehensive insurance.
Lightning, you said?
Aye.
In the insurer's office.
What do you mean, act of God?
Look.
Yeah, look, comprehensive. Comprehensive.
I'm sorry.
Bastards, pins in the arse. Parasites. Parasites, I said, a whole lot of you can disappear up your own. Rip-off artists. I'll give you insurance. David Myers, please. His brother.
Steve?
David, what's this crap about act of God?
Is that what they've got you on?
Well, an act of God is force majeure. Now, you'd know that as well as anyone.
It's a load of bollocks. It's a legal fiction. That's what it
is. Hang on.
Yeah, that's true, but it's a legitimate legal fiction for things that aren't predictable.
Why would I need insurance if life was predictable? Tell me that. I'm coming down there.
You're coming down here?
Tomorrow.
Look, call them. I mean, write them a letter.
Threaten, abuse them if it makes you feel any better. But you were a lawyer, remember? Their contracts are bulletproof.
Oh, that's very good.
Okay, catch you later. Yeah.
Stop it. See you later. What a guy.
So what's the problem?
No problem. Excuse me?
Oh, don't tell me. They're not going to pay, are they?
Of course they're going to pay. Can I borrow the car?
Sure.
No.
Thanks very much.
Why not?
Steve's ex, Jules, gives her partner, Les, a look as she walks off. Now, a red four-wheel drive passes over a beach causeway on a sunny day. Steve's at the wheel and wearing a suit jacket and shirt. A flashback.
Has it occurred to you that maybe this is a wake-up call? A grow-up call, Steve?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it could be something of that nature. What do you reckon, Arthur?
Stop talking to the bloody dog!
Did you think you were going to die?
For a second, I thought I was dead.
Do you think you're ever going to finish this house, Dad? Really?
But it's you I thought about, standing there on the jetty. And you know what I thought? I thought you saved me. What do you make of that?
To Jules.
You've never forgiven me, have you? For giving up the practice.
It's your life. But I'm sure you'll do whatever you like, Steve. You always do. Rebecca!
The car leaves the coast road behind and is now entering the city.
How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? I'm sorry to bother you, but I was just passing by and I thought I might pop in, you know? I'm very grateful for your time. I appreciate the difficulty of your position. I'm very grateful for your time. I know you're busy balancing the interest of your shareholders and your customers. Actually, how do you do that? Look, there's been a little mistake here. Nothing really. Well, little for you, big for me. Normally, I wouldn't bother you at all, but it's the crayfish season and my boat lies at the bottom of the sea.
Did you read your policy, Mr. Myers?
I have a daughter.
I'm sorry, sir. You should have read your policy.
Four people are facing ruin.
Should have read your policy, mate.
It's a wonderful painting.
Did you read your policy, Mr. Myers?
Yes, it said fully comprehensive.
Accepting acts of God.
Well, there's the thing. It doesn't say anywhere what an act of God is, does it?
Well, that's because it's widely understood, you see. It's acts of natural destruction, like tidal waves.
Locusts, pillars of fire, plagues of boils, that kind of thing. Yeah, well, God's not in charge of that stuff anymore, Mr. Piggott. We have this thing called science. We can forecast the weather now.
Sorry.
You're sorry? I've lost my work. I've lost my home. My ex-wife's partner guaranteed the loan and my only asset with his bloody caravan park, which is his only asset. I didn't come here to take no for an answer.
No, sorry.
Now, this may seem an obvious question, but if I was to rise from this chair and try and stand on my feet and I should slip somehow and this crutch was to disappear down your neck and shove your epiglottis out your asshole, would that be an act of God, do you think?
Grey area.
I'm not leaving.
Two security guards come in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very good.
What are you doing?
I can walk, for God's sake. Get my bag. I need my bag. I have a life, you know. You're a lowbrow, bad taste, sanctimonious, corporate asshole. I'm not finished with you. I'll give you acts of God. I'll give you locusts, boils.
Excuse me, Mr. Myers. We have to move to the back room.
Steve's brother David heads inside with a waiter. In the back room of the upmarket Japanese restaurant, Steve's knocking back wine, popping pills, and washing them down with sake. His behaviour catches the attention of a woman with red bobbed hair at the next table. David approaches with trepidation.
Sorry, I'm late.
Started without you.
Should you be taking those with that?
No problem, as long as you don't work, you know, like heavy machinery or oh, waiter! Oh, see, I'm awful sorry. Thank you very much. Another one of these, pal, would be lovely.
Let's go somewhere else.
Nah, I like it here. Nice fascist simplicity. And anyway, we've got a wee job to do. We're going to sue Monarch Pestilential from here to the shithouse!
Listen, don't be stupid. You realise armies of lawyers have hammered out those policies. The liabilities are defined in minute detail.
And what about God's liabilities? Has anybody consulted him? Ah!
Job to help me here.
Listen, I love you like a brother, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, my brother. You love me like a lawyer.
No,
thank you.
I'm very sorry.
My brother, he's going to be a very successful lawyer.
Come on, that's enough. Oh, no more drink. Come on.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, missus. Let me help you up.
Here we are.
He rips off the woman's skirt.
What is this? I'm very, very sorry. Please, I really didn't mean anything like that. Can I buy you something?
No.
I'm so sorry.
He spills ice in her lap and starts scooping it out. She slaps him hard across the face.
Jeez, just piss off. I'm going. I haven't even eaten anything. Bloody starving. I'm sorry. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
One night, 1.3 million years ago, the seed of humanity was planted when a family of chimpanzees decided to sit round a fire. They said we're cooking on it, having friends over, talking into the night. They learned reason and manners. Restaurants are directly descended from that first gathering. But the animal that entered my favorite eating place yesterday would not have been tolerated even by those old chimps. Drunk, stinking, and abusive, he proceeded to disturb not only mine, but everyone else in the room. Oh, my God, this gets worse. Well, looks like you've made a friend there. And I'm not going to help.
Couldn't see your way clear, huh?
This is just another one of your little stunts, isn't it? You dig a hole, everybody else falls in, and you walk away feeling superior. Well, not me, pal. Not this time.
He leaves Steve to his hangover.
Good morning, the National.
Anna Redmond, please.
Anna Redmond?
Yeah, she writes a column at your paper, remember?
Hi, this is Anna Redmond. I can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Do you know that experiments in rats have shown that they recognise the truth far quicker than most journalists? And with a wee bit of training, a squid will demonstrate a deeper grasp of moral principles. Oh, I know you were only doing your job and you didn't know you were going to turn out to be a petty assassin. You really wanted to be a nurse in Africa, didn't you? But you failed the medical.
Well, I'm sorry you're not there. You're probably away giving the kiss of life to some disabled panda.
The fact is how modern journalism sucks.
Does it? I'm not so sure.
Oh, of course it does. You told me it does. Of course, that was before you became editor. Look at this, some little twerp 3 weeks out of high school telling the world what he thinks. Mm. It's all opinion and narcissism. What's happened to reporting? I mean, 3 years ago, I used to report. I used to write stories. I was in Washington, Moscow, Beijing.
Oh, you stuffed up Moscow.
Well, yeah. Well, I had food poisoning. I missed the coup. Do you think that makes me feel good? But the fact is, I was writing stories. Where am I now? I'm on talkback radio. I'm writing columns.
Is that the column?
Oh, yeah, that's...
Anna hands Hal the column.
It's not journalism. It looks like it, but it's not. It's a corpse.
Anna, look, you're a woman of influence.
I'm a woman of attitude.
You know what your trouble is?
Being patronized, being asked rhetorical questions.
I get very excited when you're like this. I don't know why we haven't slept together.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Be a reporter. Report. Go after a story. I'm not going to stop you.
Really?
Yep.
So can we skip the column?
No.
You still want the column?
Yes.
Now, Steve's sitting in the car, waiting for a herd of cows to cross the road, when he notices a church across from him. He stares long and hard at the sign outside that reads, "Who will listen to thy complaint against God? Job." The driver behind him tooting brings him to his senses, and he sets off along the road that the cows have now cleared.
Bugger them!
Suddenly, he does a U-turn. Later, Steve steps out of the Law Society building, carrying a file, and sets off down a street bustling with lawyers in wigs and gowns. Then, using a crutch, he hobbles into the Federal Court of Australia, New South Wales District Registrar. He hands the file to a guy on the desk who, once he's read it, looks at Steve strangely. Steve's eyes twinkle and the man stamps his file with a wry smile. Meanwhile, Anna's listening to her answering machine message.
You really wanted to be a nurse in Africa, didn't you? But you failed the medical. Well, I'm sorry you're not there. You're probably away giving the kiss of life to some disabled panda somewhere.
Do you think I've done the right thing, Arthur? I hope you're right, old son. I hope you're right.
Okay, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Drive safely.
Hiya.
Hi.
Here he is. So how'd you go up in town?
Caked buttock.
That's the way. So are they going to pay?
Well, they're not inclined to pay at this stage.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means I've re-registered.
Good. You are not going to sue.
Yep.
You're going to sue one of the world's biggest insurance companies.
Well, apparently I wouldn't stand a chance. I'm suing God.
Oh, no.
I've served writs on his most prominent representatives.
And we've got this fisherman issuing writs against the churches. Now, I'm not particularly religious, but I've got a pretty good nose for what's right and decent. And I can smell an idiot a mile off. It stinks.
A stuffy-looking man in a dark suit walks into a cathedral dominated by two spires. Inside, he crosses himself, genuflects briefly at the altar, then carries on his way. Outside, his chauffeur's listening to the car radio.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with the lovely and often fiery Anna Rickman. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Dirk.
Now, what about this character suing God?
It's a summons. That's the gist of it. It's not a prank?
No.
Some religious fanatic, I suppose.
Something of that order, quite probably. Leave it with me, Your Eminence.
Sometimes I don't know what the world's coming to.
Should you admit to that in your position? I'll try and keep it under my hat.
Elsewhere, other religious leaders are also consulting with their lawyers.
So what's your advice?
Don't sell. Still a bull market.
So, what do you think?
How do I know what I think? Will you let me look at it?
Tell you, Sam, there's a lot of very strange people out there.
Yes. It's a stunt for money. That's my view. Of course, I could be wrong, Anna.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, Dirk. But insurance companies have been using the act of God clause for at least 400 years.
Well, so it's stood the test of time.
Regardless of profound shifts in theological debate, social and political changes, and man's effect on the environment. I mean, intellectually speaking, it's sort of a woolly mammoth.
A woolly mammoth, so I don't follow.
Don't you?
No.
Well, you know, the mammoth died out.
I know that, Anna.
Never mind. The insurance companies have been under a lot of pressure lately, Dirk.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a one-day wonder.
Having been cut off, Anna sits back and folds her arms. As waves lap against the rocks nearby, two vehicles cross the causeway at speed and overtake a white van. The black car that takes the lead has a satellite dish on its roof. An aerial view of the modestly sized coastal town. Reading a newspaper on the grass by a children's playground, Steve grabs his crutch and gets up when he sees the vehicles pass by. Elsewhere, a Channel 9 news chopper comes into land. Jules is on the phone.
For once, I agree with you, David.
A willful, egomaniacal idiot, all with words.
Yeah, but David, it is Steve. He leaves a stain on the couch and bolts.
Absolutely.
You know he won't go through with it.
The media en masse.
Christ almighty.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Arthur. This was a great idea you used coming down here. Not many dogs have ideas as good as that, son.
Hi. Got any fish?
Shh.
Just
seagulls. Like I say, that's all I think.
Did any of you know someone called Steve Myers?
Yeah. Big Irish guy. Crutches. It's over there.
Great, thanks.
Anna carries on along the jetty and is suddenly confronted by the sight of Arthur leaping through the air in front of her. He lands on the jetty, followed by the crutch, then Steve.
Mr. Myers!
Oh, no, me. You got the wrong guy there.
I know you.
No. Yes. Somebody else.
Yes, you're the guy from the restaurant.
No, I'm just a person. I'm from New Zealand. I'm here on holiday. A wee bit of heat. I grow lavender, actually.
Look, I'm sorry you didn't like what I wrote. I didn't like being knocked over. You know, what do you want me to do? Jump in the ocean and drown?
I don't want you to do it.
The media circus arrives.
Oh, Jesus.
Steve hobbles back along the jetty.
Don't you want to talk to them? Why don't you want to talk to them?
I don't want those people crawling all over my family.
He chucks Arthur into the water beside his boat.
You know, you're going to have to sooner or later.
Just go away and take your friends with you. Why don't you leave me alone and just bug it off?
No, you're better off talking to me.
You? I don't think so. Here, boy!
Wait!
Clinging onto the boat, Anna loses her grip and falls in.
Hey, come on, Arthur! Come on, there's that big shark back here, isn't it? Quick,
she grabs the edge of the boat.
You behave yourself. You have us all in. Me and the dog.
Oh, help me.
Look at the way you're rocking the boat. Crazy person.
Stop the boat.
From the end of the jetty, cameramen are filming Anna struggling to get into the boat as it speeds off.
Give him a good rub and be careful with the ears, they're very delicate.
Later.
So tell me again, what did you agree with her?
I didn't agree to anything with her.
She wants an exclusive. She holds the rest of them at arm's length, wines and dines you, then writes a three-page colour feature showing you up as a complete moron.
Thanks.
Thank you. Remind me, you've been a media expert for how long?
I read, I watch TV, I live in the real world.
Oh, I see, the real world. Oh, it makes sense now.
You know what I mean.
Oh. You're going to be famous, Dad.
A famous idiot.
She loves me.
A TV news report.
Since issuing the writs, Mr. Myers has remained silent, but the primate of the Anglican Church has been quick to react.
A zealot of some description, most likely. Chap with a grievance. I wouldn't worry. His wheels have come off somewhere, poor fellow. I'm surprised you people don't help.
I think you have to respond.
Don't turn the other cheek.
I think it could be dangerous.
Really?
He's more than a cranker, Eminence, and I think you'd get more respect if he got stuck in there.
He may be deluded, but he's not going to go away.
You sure of this?
My source is impeccable.
In Anna's office...
This is going to be a big story, Hal. Bigger than you realize.
Shut up, Arthur, for God's sake. Let's see who it is. Oh, hello.
You didn't think I'd be back?
No, I knew. I thought you'd be sooner, that's all.
I didn't want to appear desperate.
Out and about in the caravan park, Jules stops to watch Anna driving Steve off in her blue car.
What we got? Oh,
crayfish.
Yes.
I bet you hate them, catching them all the time.
Love them. Just can't afford to eat them, that's all.
It's not a stunt, is it, this sewing guard? Is it a stunt?
No, it's not a stunt.
Because if it's not a stunt, it's a great story.
Oh, yeah. Story. You wind me, dine me, then do a three-page feature on what a complete moron I am.
You can't win without the media.
I just don't want them on my side, that's all.
Oh, the big bad media.
Excuse me, I got you wrong. You, of course, mean the good media. The highly principled, fair-minded, deeply insightful media.
Listen, what you're doing, suing God, it's a brilliant idea. You're going to the core, the kernel of existence, and you're pulling a little wire. But nobody's going to understand it, everybody's going to misrepresent it, and the whole thing's going to be lost, like everything else that's any good. I just thought I could help.
I'm not really suing God, you know. I just hate the way people use God as some kind of giant all-purpose lying mechanism.
I know exactly what you're doing. I think you've cracked it.
She stands up and wipes her hands on the grass while Steve carries on eating the crayfish.
You know, I have to confess a personal interest. I really hate insurance companies. I really hate them.
A reasonable position in my view. I just want my boat back. Maybe the company would settle if I can just put enough pressure
on... No, they'll never settle. Trust me. They can't, because they just open the floodgates. You got to scare them. Really put the wind up. Only the media can do it. That's why you need me. I'll coach you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for a woman of the moment, Cressida Roach!
Cressida steps up to the TV studio camera.
Welcome. Welcome. Well, we've got a great show for you today. Hero or heretic?
Yes, we're ready for you now.
Oh, the fucking Bible.
The fisherman from the South Coast who's brought a lawsuit against God.
Now, don't get intellectual out there. The camera deals in emotion, not reason. I mean, it just doesn't need logic like language does, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so powerful. It's annihilating the printed word. It's changing the way we think. Television has made the world less rational now than it was 200 years ago. Now we live in a sort of a mosaic of half-comprehended, shallow emotional responses like Pavlov's dog.
Well, not me. I don't even watch television.
Actually, not even like dogs, more like hamsters.
Pavlov's hamsters.
But its essential function is to trivialize the culture. I mean, you may get out there and feel like you don't really exist.
They've been so busy talking, they've missed the way into the studio and ended up at the entrance.
What was I saying?
I don't really exist.
That's right, yes. Yes, because we live in a world of simulations, unconnected with real lived experience.
Right.
Cressida Roach, she's not a person. She's a very careful construct, you know, a combination of familiar, very commercial images. So you've got to force her back into a hole, you've got to humanize her, and really focus on that.
Sure.
Oh,
excuse me!
Oh, hi. Yeah, we're coming. Just don't be dull and inanimate. Laugh a lot. You know, I mean, be yourself. Are you okay?
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure.
They enter the studio.
This way, please.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually, if you just wait there for a moment,
yes,
thanks.
Oh, you've got a tissue in your room. I'll take it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
Hi. Steve. Cressida Roach.
Hi.
Anna's filled me in on the background. It's a fabulous story. Congratulations.
Miss Roach.
Excuse me.
Mr. Myers, we're ready for you now. Thanks.
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
Good luck.
15 seconds to air.
Steve's led to his position as they come out of the commercial break.
Monarch Alliance. Because life's like that.
Welcome back. Well, who is this Steve Myers? And what's his game? We thought we'd find out. Would you please welcome Steve Myers?
Steve enters with a confident smile, shakes Cressida's hand, and sits down on the sofa opposite.
Well, Steve, many people might think this is the work of a crank. How would you respond to them?
Oh,
Anna smiles.
You find it amusing?
Oh, no. Well, yeah, well, somewhat, yeah.
Would you call yourself a religious man?
Well, somewhat, you know. But in the broader sense, perhaps, but me being a fisherman, and sometimes, you know, when you're out at sea, it's easy to...
To get confused?
Yeah, well, it's that thing, you know, what is God?
And indeed, where is God when it comes to putting him in jail?
That's very funny. But it's not a joke.
Isn't it?
No. The joke is the insurance companies. You give your money to some global corporation on the pretext that they'll cover you for any eventuality, for any risk. Then something happens and they won't pay you because they say God's responsible.
You're assuming Jules. God exists.
No. They're assuming God exists.
But logically, if your argument is with the insurance companies...
There is no logic involved. Forget logic. Logic has no business here. For instance, if a woman is driving a car and she's in an accident and her daughter is injured, her daughter isn't covered by the insurance, then the poor girl is virtually forced to sue her mother. Now, that's not to say that the girl hates her mother any more than I hate God.
But this is unprecedented, isn't it, to say the least?
No. This is the Bible. I have marked the place at Ecclesiastes.
Chapter 1, verse 9. I think you'll find it says, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing
is unprecedented. That's the word of God. And I'm sorry if it offends some folk, but I'm going to fight these people.
What about offending God?
Well, if God exists, I don't think he would be offended at all. Not if he has some sense of justice. I think he'd be on my side.
Mr. Myers, thank you very much.
David turns away from the TV set looking pensive. The Cardinal's on the phone.
Jerry, did you see him?
See? What did I tell you?
Good on you, mate. Well done.
Thanks for your calming influence.
Mr. Myers?
Hi, Maxine Jeffrey, Hawk Magazines. Our readers would love to know more about you.
Well, that's great. We'll be in touch.
Great. No harm in a chat. You're good. You're very good.
You're popular. You're very, very popular.
Not with anyone I know. Did you ever think of doing anything like that? Like Cressida?
No, I wanted to be a nurse. In Africa.
Now Anna's typing up her exclusive.
Apparently, some of you think this Myers bloke is doing something decent. Well, he's not, and it makes me sick.
He's outraged some religious groups, but Steve Myers seems to have struck a chord with the wider community. Meanwhile, the Council of Churches, together with representatives of the Jewish community, meet today to discuss the problem of world poverty.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us pause for a minute's meditation and reflection and ask God for wisdom in our deliberations.
So the fella's been seen on TV. Doesn't mean we have to take it serious. Actually, the reverse normally applies.
It's in every newspaper in the country. Does God have a case to answer? Is there anyone up there who makes a mockery?
It's the Me Society. God is dead. Figuratively speaking, we've lost our mystery.
Ah, mysterish, mystery. Clout is what we need.
Mystery and clout.
No, so which one? The money or the box? Because if you want to keep the money, it's best to say that God doesn't exist.
I think we can take it as read that God does exist.
Well, I hope he does. I'll spend half the morning singing to him.
I wonder if we can be serious for a moment.
I am being serious. Look, if God's responsible, we're responsible, yes or no?
We need a lawyer.
Jerry Ryan's going to handle it. If he can't get this nonsense thrown out of court, no one can.
If you want my opinion, if the court's got any sense, they'll throw out the case in 10 seconds flat and Myers along with it. And good riddance. He's caused too much division in the community. It's disgusting. That's what it is.
The Federal Court of Australia is now in session.
Be seated.
Call the case for hearing.
Myers versus God.
Gentlemen.
Jerry Ryan, on behalf of the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican and Presbyterian churches, and the Jewish community.
Steve Myers, on behalf of myself.
And the defendant is?
There is no defendant, Your Honour. We are moving for a strikeout on that basis.
The defendant is God.
Who is not a person.
That is a moot point, surely. God and the churches, the religions, Your Honour, are one. They cannot exist without each other. If God is responsible for the sinking of my boat, the religions are responsible.
So you're suing the church?
God is an entity with nominated representatives, like a company.
And the basis of your case is what?
If there was an act of God, then God is liable. The churches are God's representatives on earth. If they wish to deny liability by denying the existence of God, then they are guilty of contravening Section 52 of the Trade Practices Act of 1974. A corporation shall not, in trade or commerce, engage in conduct that is misleading or deceptive.
Rubbish. Fascinating.
And to deny that responsibility is to contravene the act.
Your Honour, the case doesn't merit a hearing. It is frivolous, without legal precedent, and blasphemous, Your Honour.
Oh, Your Honour!
And Mr. Myers lacks any assets.
You can demand security for costs. The boat was worth what?
$150,000, Your Honour.
Not a frivolous amount, Mr. Ryan, even by your standards.
Even so, Your Honour.
I am not satisfied the action is entirely without merit. I will let it go to trial.
Yes!
Maisie from Foster. Go ahead, Maisie.
I just wanted to say Steve Myers is very brave.
Yes, Rodney from Vaucluse. Yes, Rodney?
You know, Dirk, this man has no scruples, no assets, and no case, if you ask me.
Well, we were asking you, Rodney. Is there anything else?
Well, I think it's immoral.
Fair enough. As I said, he's upset a lot of decent people. I'm Dirk Stryker, and I'm unhappy.
Later, Anna and Steve arrive at her apartment.
I've got something to show you. Your fan mail. Houses lost to landslides, flash floods, lightning strikes, acts of God.
Field breaks. Didn't you mention a drink?
She wanders off to get him one.
Is this your father?
Yeah. Aren't you going to read the letters?
No. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking class action.
I am.
Give me nightmares. I don't want a class action.
Do you want to go to the balcony?
Yes. If I get down with my boat, that's one thing. But I don't want to take some poor bugger down with me. Okay?
Upstairs on the balcony.
Why did you give up law?
Because I was good at it. My father was a lawyer, his father was a lawyer, and I was expected to become a lawyer. It's like being born a sheep or a moth. It's not much of a life, you know, when you can't call your soul your own.
Are you a good fisherman?
I was a much better lawyer, but a happier fisherman. I hated it. I mean, the average punter goes to court expecting a little justice because some bastard stole his lawnmower. What does he see? Some supercilious toads talking gibberish, the sole purpose of which is to make him feel guilty and the guilty look innocent.
It's the world turned upside down. I wouldn't drag anybody through that system just to see them squashed at the end, and I'm certainly not going to do it to myself.
Did you ever think the law delivered perfect justice?
Of course not. The most you can expect is to do a little good.
He goes to put his arm around her shoulder.
I should warn you, I have a brown belt in jiu-jitsu and could very easily throw you onto the roof.
He takes his hand quickly back. She looks at him and smiles.
Read some of the letters. Meet some of the people.
You're making a mistake. I'll win this.
Nevertheless, we don't want to make a martyr of this man. I'm instructing you, Jerry. Excuse me.
Oh, this is great.
Thank you. Yeah. And good luck.
We just need about a week.
It's okay.
I'm only doing this for you, you know.
Yes, you're only doing it for me. Mr. Myers.
It was a mudslide. They said it wasn't our fault, but they wouldn't pay anyway. They said it was an act of God.
Afterwards?
Oh, yes.
They said the water has to come from above. Otherwise, it's not a flood. But how can a flood come from above?
It was humiliating. They treated us like criminals. You say, how can this be right? And they make you feel like you're trying to cheat them.
Они сволочи.
What did you say? Not very nice people.
Later, Anna answers her phone.
Hello? No, why would I know where he is? Really? What now? Yeah, well, I'll tell him if I see him. Jerry Ryan wants you to meet with him.
Surprise! Let's go.
No, I'm not coming.
Come on, I need a witness. Let's go.
Now they walk up to the entrance of a building.
I don't think they'll let women in here.
Don't be ridiculous.
We don't have women here as a rule. Never mind, the camels moan, the caravan moves on.
I was hoping to meet with Mr. Myers alone.
I invited Miss Redmond, is that all right?
Of course. Regular Bonnie and Clyde, aren't you?
My clients have instructed me to offer settlement, Mr. Myers, full replacement value of the boat, and you will cease all proceedings.
How much?
Oh, considerable. It'll set you up nicely, no doubt. Unless you're planning to give it to the homeless.
What if there were other plaintiffs?
There are no other plaintiffs, unless you choose to generate them. There is an undertaking that you will cease all proceedings, either in the press or in the court, jointly or separately. Just sign here and here and there.
I'll need some time to think about it.
It's on the table now.
Can I just have a little look? Thank you.
How much is it for?
$160,000 is the valuation. I suppose many people would say good luck to you. In the world of dog-eat-dog, you saw a dog. And clever. Embarrass the churches into paying for you, the churches being the only people with conscience enough to be embarrassed. It is a generous offer, Mr. Myers. But personally, I'd be delighted if you refuse. Would you excuse me for a moment?
Jerry walks away.
Let's go.
She gets up, but Steve carries on reading the offer.
You're not seriously thinking about that, are you? What about all the other people?
I didn't promise anything.
Oh, well, silly me. Right, right. Well, it's not as if you're trying to set some precedent for humanity or anything, is it?
Precisely. I'm not.
He accepts.
Of course he does. $160,000 for the boat. And 200 for the story Mrs. Redmond has doubtless organized with the TV network. Congratulations. It's a brilliant scam.
Steve finds Anna waiting for him outside.
Ah, all done?
Yep.
Explain to me how you could do what you just did.
Oh, it was really easy. I just told him. I said, I'll take the money in dollar coins. So I can ram them up your ass one at a time.
She hugs him.
It's true.
And you thought I would take the money. How could
I did.
Yes, this is a class action. About 120 so far.
What are you after, Mr. Myers? Some kind of moral victory?
Yes, I would prefer it to be moral if possible.
Do you have lawyers?
Yes, me. I'm a lawyer. This isn't a benefit for the legal profession.
Who's picking up the bill?
You are, and anyone else who wants to contribute to the fighting fund.
So this is some kind of political mass campaign?
This is a legal action, a strangely affordable one. Before this, these people will keep you in court until you're old, frail, sick, dead, whatever comes first. But you're stuffed anyway. Now at least you have a fighting chance.
Pickett to Jerry.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, here's the church's problem.
You think so? If he wins and they lose, who do you think the churches are going to come after?
What do we do then?
Nothing much. Just prove God exists.
Huh? As the suit against God gathers momentum, religious groups around the country are gathering to make their voices heard.
With some experts predicting that if the action is successful, the consequences will be profound, not only for the church, but for the global insurance industry.
In these most troubling and perplexing times, may you bring to those of us who are your humble servants.
What are the others doing about it?
They're all praying. They should be praying for better lawyers.
We are looking at almost 800 co-plaintiffs and a final payout of $550 million.
There has, however, been a backlash against the outspoken Mr. Myers from conservative Christian groups who are urging their followers to peacefully protest against him and his supporters.
A rowdy nighttime demonstration in the caravan park. Rebecca looks scared. David switches on the news in his apartment.
Żąda ogromnego odszkodowania. W czasie silnego sztormu łódź rybacka należąca do Steve'a Myersa została uderzona wyłowaniem atmosferycznym i w rezultacie...
He turns to stare at the TV, which is showing footage of the Pope, the Vatican, and a photo of Steve.
Steve Myers postanowił wytoczyć proces Bogu, a ściślej mówiąc, jego przedstawicielom w Sydney, to znaczy Kościołowi.
Oh, Steve, look, these people are just not reaching my
calls. Is there anyone else I can hear? Oh, I've no idea. Look, could you give me 10 minutes and I'll try and think of somebody.
See, I found something here.
Tim, hold that thought. Yeah. I promise I'll get back to you.
Steve, what was the name of the conversation that you wanted?
Ask her. She knows all the names, all the people. Oh, my God, who ordered this? Quiet! I need help.
Forget it.
How can I forget it? The people depended on me.
They're dead right, there are.
Did you mention a drink, by the way?
You know, you could have stayed down in that little town, made a perfectly good living from, I don't know, drafting or conveyancing, but oh, no, not you. No. Oh, you're too good for the law. Instead, you become a bloody fisherman like some creeping Jesus, for Christ's sake.
Wasn't Jesus a carpenter?
And then the prodigal son returns to the wicked city, the great human rights crusader, to take on Jerry Ryan.
Oh, I get it now. Jealousy. Oh, everybody needs a hobby.
A hobby? Don't you talk to me about a hobby. Your whole bloody life's been a hobby.
I came here for your help. I want you on my side.
On your side? Well, join Steve Myers in his lunatic, unwinnable case so he can spend the rest of his life fighting countersuits, joining the public humiliation? No way. Now listen, you brought this on, and now maybe you'll get the kick in the ass you should have had when you were...
When I was what?
When you were 10. When you were born.
Now, a bus is parked right across from the church where Steve read the sign earlier. He's on board, waiting for new passengers to get on, when he notices there's a new sign outside that reads, "He who does not love his brother cannot love God." Steve looks at it, then turns away. The destination on the front of the bus reads, "Eden." Later.
What the hell's happened out there?
G'day, mate. What are you doing here?
I thought I'd catch up on a couple of people I used to know in a previous life.
Daddy!
Ah, my sweetheart! Mm. So what's happening?
We were attacked by a bunch of loonies, and they smashed the shower blocks, and they knocked over the empty vans,
Rebecca.
And they put a weed killer in the water tank, and I almost drank it.
What?
And Arthur did, and he was really sick.
We have to talk. The bank rang. We can't pay your loan. We made one payment, and we can't pay any more.
The caravan park's a mess. The insurance company's giving us the runaround, of course. There's no money coming in.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, you will you? David says you had an offer.
And who told him that?
Well, he didn't you tell us? That was our money and you turned it down. You turned it down.
I have a plan.
We've got a plan. Let me tell you the plan for once. We're going to sell up. Les reckons we can get something cheaper back in Perth.
In Perth? Well, the family's there. They're going to help out. And how am I supposed to see Rebecca?
I'm not going to Perth.
You don't have a choice.
Later, Steve sits looking up at the stars with Arthur at his side.
You know what we need, Arthur? Some kind of sign. What do you reckon? No. I didn't think so. Let's go.
He walks away and doesn't see a shooting star streak across the sky.
I'm sorry, it's very, very late.
Wearing just her dressing gown, Anna smiles and lets him into her apartment.
Give it a good push forward.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A wonky sofa bed.
There's a handle somewhere.
What does it look like?
Well, it looks like a handle, funnily enough.
She leaps on the end of the bed and finally gets it to stay down.
Just get the sheets.
He takes a sip of his drink and sits down on the bed. It springs back up and knocks him on the head. He pushes the end down, then lays himself out on it and manages to get it to stay. He gets back up and grabs his drink just as Anna returns with pillows and sheets. She hurriedly starts making up the bed.
Thought I might go see Ryan. He might have a family. He might understand.
If Ryan thinks he's got you on a spit, I'm just going to enjoy all the more watching you squirm.
He takes a seat with a worried, pensive look. She sits on the bed and takes a moment before speaking.
When I was about 10, a house burned down. And the insurance company wouldn't pay. It wrecked the family. And my father, he was a salesman, you know. He was never home much anyway, but after that, he went away a lot, and he stayed away. And then when he did come home, it was even worse. What I'm saying is, look, no visible scars. I know what you're going through a bit.
You can't. If you don't have a child, I'm sorry, but you can't.
No, but I was one, a child. I've survived in a fashion.
I can't be separated from her.
No, you can't.
I don't know what to do. Don't know what to think.
Your bed's made.
He puts down his drink and goes to sit next to her.
I believe in you.
You do?
Yes. They will too.
She puts a comforting hand on his shoulder. She wanders off through the apartment. The next morning, Anna's up and dressed when she comes through and finds Steve still asleep, sitting upright on the sofa, with his legs resting against the flipped-up end of the bed. She looks at him and suppresses a laugh, before putting on her glasses and taking a business card out of her purse. She picks up the phone and sets Maxine Jeffrey's card down on the counter. Later, Anna's sitting at the table, reading through the newspaper.
The Greeks would say the gods were holding you to ransom, wouldn't they? Testing you. Filling you with doubt.
Later, with Steve, she marches into Hal's office at the paper.
I wrote 2,000 words of professional reportage. You reduced it to 800 words of twaddle and buried it on a crossword page.
I don't think it was as objective as it might
be. Oh, bullshit. Who's got to you, Hal?
Be very careful, Anna.
The Greeks would say the gods are holding us to ransom, Jules. They're testing us, filling us with doubt. The Greeks are bastards, you know. Hello? Hello?
He hangs up and quickly runs after Anna. Later, they're in her car.
You're very real. It's kind of unusual. I like it, you know. Yeah, unusual. It's kind of exhilarating.
Across the street, he sees David shaking hands with Jerry.
Fuck, I don't believe it. Stop the car! Come over here!
David and Jerry take a seat in front of the Japanese restaurant they were in earlier. Steve marches over.
It'll be worth your while, I promise you.
Oh dear, it's still alive! Let me deal with that. This fish has more decency in its asshole than you'll ever have in your entire body! And you, my so-called brother, you bloody hypocrite, how could you sit here paddling in the ooze with this bucket of slime? I'll see you both in court! Who are you fucking looking at?
Now Jerry to the religious leaders.
You have invested me with a very grave responsibility, gentlemen. If we lose, the church will never again be safe. It is not a matter for compromise. It's not even a matter of money, though if you lose within a year, you'll be penniless. Lose, and in this cynical mercenary age, you'll never be credible again. You characters have got a problem. If the churches lose, they'll hold you responsible. Act of God. There'll be an endless cycle of litigation, and you will lose a lot of it. But I'll win this. And I know you won't forget who saved your bacon.
No turning back now, right?
No turning back.
Next, a media circus is stationed outside the court.
Wait the appearance of Stephen Myers. His controversial behaviour against Stephen Myers.
I have nothing to say. I'm sorry. No comment. I'm sorry.
The Federal Court of Australia is now in session. Be seated.
Steve turns and Anna gives him a reassuring smile. That night in her apartment.
If they're experts in acts of God,
then they must be experts in the ways of God.
Well said.
Mr. Havers, you've been an insurance assessor with Monarch Alliance for...
7 years.
And it was you who came to Whaleboat Bay to inspect my boat. Could you tell the court what you saw there?
Nothing. It was gone.
It was struck by lightning.
I believe so.
Did you see any evidence of storms when you were in the vicinity?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit of wind damage.
Acts of God?
Couldn't say.
I see. And yet my boat was sunk by an act of God.
Looked very much like it, but it's not me who decides.
This committee employed by your company to decide these matters, they'd be religious experts, would they?
Not necessarily.
But they're experts in acts of God. Aren't they priests or theologians, no?
That doesn't work that way, mate.
Mr. Pickett. You are the general manager and chief executive officer of Monarch Alliance.
Correct.
Would you explain to the court the purpose behind the act of God clause in insurance policies?
I'd be delighted. The purpose is to protect the vast majority of policyholders against occasional calamities that may befall the few.
I see. Does it mean that God caused the event?
Heavens, no. Although he may have for all we know. No. It's a figure of speech.
Like out on a limb.
That's right. Hmm.
Or away with the fairies.
Yeah, very good.
So, it's not to be taken literally?
No, absolutely not.
Verbum, verbo, non est ridden.
Tetagisti AQ.
Consummatum est. Thank you, Mr. Piggott.
Why don't we call things by their real names? An act of storm, an act of weather, an act of lightning. The names of the things that have ruined the lives of my co-plaintiffs.
Because it's customary to call them acts of God.
Would that be because God has a certain ring to it? There's a certain moral authority that exists only in the name of God?
No.
He's knocked off your copyright. How are you, Mr. Piggott?
Anna gestures to him.
Would you say, Mr. Piggott, that the sinking of the Titanic was an act of God?
I beg your pardon? That's rather before my time.
Well, it was a ship. It struck an iceberg, and perhaps you saw the film.
Yes, oh, that's right, isn't it? Yes, and the orchestra played that lovely little tune as they went down. Da, 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 da. I don't think it was one of ours, the Titanic.
It was deemed an act of God.
Well, I'm not surprised. An accessible risk. An iceberg. Who would have thought?
And yet, the insurance companies paid out.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Really?
Yes, in order to avoid the bad publicity. Now, there's a funny thing. Oh, one last thing, Mr. Piggott. Last year, your company declared profits of $6.2 billion.
Yes, something of that order.
Did you remember to thank God for it?
Steve sits back down.
Mr. Myers has given notice that his opponents have a fight on their hands.
But they belong to Mr. Myers as he exploited the church's position.
Steve and Anna leave the court where police are trying to keep back angry protesters.
Storms are fanning bushfires in many parts of the state.
Steve Myers kept the pressure on today, forcing each witness under the back foot. These witnesses, insurance company executives, had trouble justifying their business.
Anna switches off the TV.
I quite liked you today, you know that? What?
He's staring at her.
Remind me how you came into my life.
I talked to Arthur. He said you were beautiful. Smart.
He always was the brains of the outfit.
It was the house I was born in. When we lost it, it broke my husband's heart.
And the insurance company didn't pay?
They said it was an act of God.
Act of God.
They said it was an act of God.
Act of God.
Thank you.
Mr. Ryan?
No.
The insurance industry reckons that the act of God is just a figure of speech. Well, the churches can't possibly agree with that. Can they?
Well, I suppose for legal purposes.
What about for religious purposes? For moral purposes? For philosophical purposes? Is there such a thing as an act of God that isn't meant to be taken seriously?
I shouldn't think so.
The rabbi.
Well, it means what it says. What else?
Do you think my boat was sunk by an act of God?
Who can say with these things?
The insurance companies think they can.
But we don't go running around saying when the weather's bad, it's an act of insurance.
Did God make the bolt of lightning which struck my boat?
Yes, and no. These things do not have easy answers.
But if you can't tell me what's an act of God and what isn't, and these men can't tell me, how can some shiny ass with a diploma in accountancy...
Quiet, please.
So if God does exist, the churches must be liable.
The churches can only win the case if they prove God does not exist.
Do you want to tell them? Aren't you hopelessly compromised, Your Eminence? I mean, isn't it one of God's commandments that we mustn't take his name in vain? But isn't that exactly what they've been doing? Using his name to justify a legitimate legal fiction, a lie?
It comes close to it, I would concede.
But isn't that blasphemy? How can you tolerate it?
To be truthful, I suspect we haven't given it a lot of thought till now.
Do you think it's because the churches, whose combined wealth could easily pay off the entire Third World debt, are massive shareholders in financial institutions, including the global insurance industry?
Are we?
What are you doing in bed with these people?
Your Honor.
Order!
It is true, Mr. Myers. We are not perfect. We've been on the wrong side of things very often. We are sinners. We are blind to much injustice. We have blood on our hands. Guilty. No question.
I didn't ask for your confession, Your Eminence.
Good. It would take eternity to hear it. I wonder, though, if you recognize any of the same flaws in yourself. A little intolerance, perhaps. A little too much self-love.
I am not the one in trial.
And nor is God, I assure you. I don't know about yours, Mr. Myers, but my God is an eternal wellspring of love, hope, and inspiration for millions. He moves mountains. Yes. How does your faith compare with that God? It's a poor world without faith, you know.
I know.
Do you? I mean love of God. I mean feeling God work on your heart. Have you felt that? Because compared to that loss, the loss of your boat is nothing. A speck of dust. Not even a speck. Who knows, God might have been trying to teach you that.
It was a sign.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Thank you.
You are excused, Your Eminence.
I think we might take a break. The court is adjourned for lunch. 1 hour.
All stand!
Anna walks into Hal's office and takes off her shades.
Anna, I'm sorry. But you brought this on yourself.
That's a joke. Any decent legal system would have thrown it out and jailed the animal for 6 months for public nuisance. Instead of that, he's swanning around like some pop star, and we're looking at $500 million in claims if you lose. Well, at least the Cardinal straightened him up a bit. About bloody time, too. It's their fight, after all.
Well, what are you going to do?
Make his miserable life more miserable. I'm going to nail the bastard.
Have we taken care of the girlfriend?
Ms. Redmond. It's been taken care of.
Hi, Anna.
Good luck, Anna.
Hot westerly winds from the Red Centre continue to fan bushfires north of the city, casting an eerie glow over the deepening drama of the Myers God trial.
Mr. Ryan?
Your Honour, I'd like to call Mr. Art Gitman of Whaleboat Bay.
Steve watches David talk to Jerry.
Retired senior constable Gitman considered Stephen Myers a troublemaker.
Makes him look like a criminal.
Oh, I think it's quite a good likeness.
Obstructing a bulldozer, drunk and disorderly, indecent exposure.
He was having a pee off his boat.
With intent. The former policeman also said that Mr. Myers' domestic arrangements involving his ex-wife and her de facto husband were morally questionable. And inappropriate
switch it off.
For a 12-year-old
She's talking
girl.
About me.
I see it. Switch it off. Myers had apparently paid no tax for 3 years and confirmed he was currently under investigation.
Scandaloso. A casa de Steve Myers.
Monsieur Myers, kidnapped once in your bada, John.
There have been questions about Mr. Myers' motives and character, which threatened to derail his entire case.
Cockroach! Bloody sewer rats! It's something out of 60 minutes! It's not going to work for him, though. But the judge isn't going to buy it. What's the matter?
Nothing.
I'm not going to let this bastard get away with it.
Oh, there you are. I'm going to put you on the stand later.
To say what?
Say that your brother told you he's running a scam.
But he didn't.
Yes, he did. Don't you remember?
Jerry and Piggott walk away from David.
What's next?
Just you wait and see.
Back in court.
Your Honor, I'd like to call Anna Redmond.
Anna looks shocked, and so does Steve. She gets up and walks past him on her way to the stand. He looks across at Jerry, who gives him an inscrutable smile.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Miss Redmond, you are a journalist for the National.
No.
Oh.
No, I got fired.
Was it something to do with Mr. Myers?
Oh, Your Honor, Mr. Edmund and I are not in trial here.
No, God is, and at any other time in history, they'd hang the both of you for it.
Oh, Your Honor!
Your Honor, the Almighty surely has the right to know the character of his accuser.
Proceed.
Miss Redmond, I ask you again, was it anything to do with Mr. Myers?
Well, the thought crossed my mind.
Because you're his partner in this, aren't you? You have a keen interest in his case. You've written several articles, made numerous radio appearances. You've beaten it up.
It's newsworthy.
You could sell his story for twice the value of the boat, couldn't you? Miss Redmond, will you tell the court about Michael? We have the letters.
I presume you mean... Yes. Well, he died. I found him on the carpet, and I don't know what happened.
Your Honor, I should tell the court that Michael was a goldfish, an insured goldfish. Order. How much did you eventually get for it after 2 years and 37 letters to the insurance company?
I don't remember. Who cares?
$78. Do you know how many claims you've made over the past 25 years? Injury to a cat from a faulty spring in a sofa.
Ah, yes, well, that nearly killed her. In fact, she did die later.
Yeah, not before you stood on her and claimed that, too. Oh, Your Honor, it is a history of unremitting obsession.
Well, I think that's overstating it.
109 claims?
Well, everyone was legitimate. What else is insurance for?
You don't like insurance companies, do you?
No.
Ms. Redmond, will you tell the court what happened on the 23rd of March, 1966?
1966? Oh, don't be ridiculous. Oh, it's a quiz, is it? All right. 1966, 23rd of March. Martin Luther King got shot. Grace Kelly had a baby. The war ended. I don't know. I was seven. What were you doing?
Your house burnt down.
Did it?
The insurance company refused to pay, didn't they?
They said it was arson.
Oh, you remember now.
But it wasn't arson.
Maybe. Maybe not.
It wasn't arson. It was their excuse because they didn't want to pay. And we lost everything.
You've never forgotten, have you? Or forgiven?
My father went to jail. And he was innocent.
Miss Redmond, isn't it true that because of that incident 35 years ago, you are here now with Mr. Myers? When you saw his little game, you saw a chance to satisfy your lifelong passion for revenge.
Oh, Your
a
Honor,
chance to make the biggest
please,
claim
objection.
In history against God. Your Honor, it is a fraud, a hoax, a swindle. By day, Your Honor, they seek justice in your court. At night, they chase the loot.
This is ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Your
Why are you on the phones to the magazines if not to sell your story?
That's not true. That's a lie.
I have sworn affidavits, Miss Redmond, from two editors. I am happy to put them on the stand.
Outside the court.
We are fucked.
Steve, what's going to happen?
Excuse me. What did you tell me?
It was not relevant. Nothing he said was relevant to your case.
What? Of course it was relevant. We just get stuffed there. What's all that stuff about arson?
It was not happening.
The claims.
My father was 100 miles away.
Isn't that what arsonists usually are?
Oh, you bastard.
We are buggered here. All that effort is completely out the window. How many claims was it?
Oh, so Jesus. What? Do I persecute minorities? Do I stick pins into little old ladies? I made legitimate claims on insurance companies. How come you're taking his side?
Oh, God! Oh,
he slandered me, he slandered my father. He tried to humiliate me. This is an attack on me. When it's you, it's shocking. When it's me, it's...
I'm not a crank!
I'm not a crank!
I wouldn't even be doing this if I only want my stuff back. I want my boat. It's all I ever wanted. I'm not the one phoning people, trying to flog the story to some bloody newspaper.
The only reason I made that call was because of you. So that if everything fell apart, at least you'd have some money.
So why didn't you say you'd been fired?
Yeah, for supporting you. Isn't that a joke? Why didn't I know? Why didn't I think? I don't know. Listen, just go, okay? I'm out. Really, just... Please, just spare me the time. Just go.
He walks away, but when he tries to re-enter the building, the door's locked.
How the fuck are you supposed to get out of here?
Now the sun rises and casts an ethereal light through the stained glass windows of a church where Steve is sitting quietly in the pews. He studies the intricate religious carving on the altarpiece. Above it is Christ on the cross. As he looks at Christ intently, his weighed down expression gradually lifts. Then he stands up, slings his satchel over his shoulder, and saunters back up the aisle. Later, he rings on a doorbell. David looks surprised to see him. Steve shrugs, and David leaves the door open for him to come in.
Ryan wants me to testify you said you had a scam going.
Naturally, you told him where to stuff it, no?
He's going to put me on the stand. If I deny it, he'll say that I'm lying to protect my brother.
If you deny it, what did he bribe you with? Senior partnership? Jesus, he did.
Listen, Steve, please, for once in your life, listen. You can't possibly win. You know why you can't win? Because they can't afford to lose. Now, you've had your moments, but believe me, the glory's gone. And excuse the pun, but you were sunk before you started, and you'll be sunk even deeper in 2 or 3 years when you're still in court, because they know that keeping you there is their only option. Now, where will you be then? And where will Rebecca be?
Anna's standing on her balcony, looking out at the lights of the nighttime city. She's resting her chin on her hand and wearing a thoughtful expression. Dark patches of cloud scud past a bright moon. Arthur goes into his kennel and keeps a lookout. Night turns to day, and the sun rises gracefully in the sky. It's still early morning when Steve dons a skull cap and enters a synagogue that's empty but for a cleaner polishing the seating. Steve sits down and takes in his surroundings. He raises his eyes and looks up at the impressive vaulted ceiling. In between the intricate carved lines that crisscross the ceiling is a dark blue painted sky filled with stars. As if revolving before his eyes, he stares up at the ceiling, utterly transfixed.
Drop your case.
I'm sorry?
You've dropped your case.
Oh, thank you.
The cleaner moves on. Steve smiles to himself, then picks up his satchel that he's dropped in the aisle and makes his way out. The TV is on, but filled with static in David's house. He's lying on the sofa in his pajamas, looking like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. Steve quietly lets himself into Anna's apartment. By the door, he puts down his satchel, then notices Anna standing out on the balcony. She barely gives him a second glance before she turns back to look out at the nighttime city. He comes to stand next to her.
If you give up your obsession, I'll give up mine. You're not a crank.
No, you're the crank.
I could be in court for the next 20 years. How does a moral victory sound to you?
Well, there's a lot to be said for a moral victory.
Later, Steve picks up a Holy Bible in the living room.
This may contain a few clues. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it.
No.
A bit close to the bone for me.
Wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles shall be gathered together.
That's very interesting.
She reads the passage. They're sitting intimately close together.
What?
You do know everybody thinks we are sleeping together.
Yes, well, we're not.
No. Not.
They kiss each other full on the lips for a lingering moment, then pull apart.
What would you say if I was to tell you I was falling in love with you?
She takes off her glasses, then starts kissing him again. A sea of billowing clouds the next morning. Steve and Anna in bed.
Something? I don't know. Something I made up.
Do you always sing afterwards?
No. I think this is the first time.
Very nice.
Thank you.
They play footsie under the covers.
You're quite wonderful, you know. You make me feel wonderful. Absolutely, unprecedentedly wonderful.
Outside, the sky is misty and tinged with red.
Rescue services are stretched to breaking point, with bushfires now penetrating the outskirts of the city. There are long delays as city-bound traffic has been diverted and motorists are advised to be patient.
Jules, Lois and Rebecca are stuck in city traffic.
In federal court, Steve Myers' case seems likely to collapse following revelations about his past and those of his companion, Anna Redmond.
A white bird flies onto the court building, where, inside, Steve's family are waiting.
Ah, look who's here! Darling Princess Oliver.
Hi, I'm Jules.
Listen, no matter what happens today, I'm definitely going to pay you back. There's no need to go to Perth. I can set up a practice right here. I will pay you back. Hey, where's Arthur, by the way? I saved him a seat.
Now, I thought what they did to you yesterday was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were pretty tough on him, too.
Oh, yeah, but he deserved it.
Is she nice?
Oh, she's very nice indeed.
Rebecca looks away.
What?
I'm proud of you, Dad. Whatever happens.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, nothing can stop us now.
As he hugs her, he notices David talking to the other plaintiffs.
All stand! Be seated.
Is it enough, do you think? A moral victory?
What other kind is there in the great scheme of things?
Mr. Ryan?
Your Honor, I call David Meyer.
Your Honor, I'm withdrawing from the case.
What? He can't do that.
Yes, he can. But he'd better explain.
Yeah, what is this?
Your Honor, I've brought an action against someone who doesn't exist.
The defendant does not exist?
What about these characters?
If God doesn't exist, they don't exist as his representatives, Your Honor.
I knew it.
The God of the act of God does not exist, and not one person in this courtroom has been prepared to say that he does. I'll say it again. It's a lie that they use to rob decent, honorable people. The kind of people who have joined me in this action. But you know, Your Honor, there's something else. If God exists, I don't think he sits around sinking people's little boats. I don't think he causes earthquakes and landslides or dreams up ways to make people's brakes fail. If there is a God, surely he's everywhere. He's in everything. He's even in this courtroom. He's in the sea, he's in a lobster, he's in a line of Robert Burns. He's in a woman's thigh, the soft anvil of creation. He's in a face.
Smiling, he looks at Anna, then Rebecca, who gives him a little wave.
How can I sue these things? All other things to the destruction draw. Only love hath no decay.
That's what I told him.
Maybe you were right. My boat was a
tiny little speck of dust in the great scheme of things. Losing it was nothing. Let's say God did sink my boat. How can I sue God for an act that led me to this woman? For an act of love?
Pax vobiscum.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Mazel tov.
Suddenly, the lights in the courtroom start flashing on and off. Everyone looks up. Something smashes through a stained glass window, sending glass flying everywhere. Then, through the newly created hole, the white bird comes flying into the court. Everyone leans forward for a closer look as it flies up and around the room before finally swooping towards the front and landing right in front of the judge.
It's a sign.
A miracle.
A winged messenger.
It's a fucking cockatoo.
All eyes remain on the bird. It fans out the yellow plumage on its head before finally taking off again. It flies up towards the back of the court before disappearing through the hole in the window. Everyone's left looking up in awe.
I think, under the circumstances, court is adjourned for 15 minutes.
Anna gets to her feet with a satisfied smile, and Steve shrugs and grins back at her. As the bird flies further away, inside the court, Anna and Steve hug each other tightly.
A very strange thing happened today.
He showed us that even in this globalized world, love is still a powerful player.
The wind suddenly disappears.
Two very strange things happened today.
Mr. Myers has established to my satisfaction that an act of God, as defined by the insurance companies, is oppressive and exploitative, offensive to reason and religion, and almost certainly wrong in law. He has withdrawn his case, but he's made his point indelibly. The position of the insurance companies is untenable, and in my view, unlikely to survive concerted challenge in court.
Your Honor, the case is, with the greatest respect, the case was against the churches.
Yes, and they will have to consider their position. Amor vincit omnia?
Love conquers all.
Court is adjourned. All stand.
The other plaintiffs all hug each other. Jerry's smile fades.
Amore. Dio amore.
Outside.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Thank you.
American people, how you feel right now?
Oh, I feel terrific. Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah,
thank
you. Amazing, Mr. Myers. Felicitations.
Mr. Myers,
what happens to the co-plaintiffs?
Mr. David Myers will be representing them.
And will they be suing God? No, they'll be suing the insurance companies. The way is now open, thanks to my brother.
Thank you very much indeed.
And is the world a better place today?
Me?
Oh, well,
yeah, I think so.
Now, every right-minded person knows that I've been even-handed throughout the case. But now it's over, I'll say this. It's a great victory for ordinary people, like you and like me.
Well, do we win?
Oh, no.
This particular appropriate now. It's been a tumultuous couple of hours at the stock exchange, where all the large insurance stocks have crashed. There's panic at insurance offices around the city, with thousands of customers demanding refunds. A spokesman for Monarch Alliance said that the insurance industry...
Oh, well, I suppose the best thing is to take the long view.
You're telling me we survived, but I certainly don't have a sense of jubilation. I have a depression.
A Pyrrhic victory, I think, Mr. Ryan.
Your Grace, you got crucified.
But the game's not over. We're issuing writs.
Counterstealing, eh? Good on you.
Against Monarch Alliance and five other insurance companies. Section 52 of the Trade Practices Act, several billion dollars. God is our copyright.
I'll get straight onto it.
I won't be needing you on this one, Jerry.
Not this time, my old son.
God is love. What have you been reading, you people?
It's what happens when we give up the moral high ground.
I'm against all these lawsuits. The church is our proper place.
They're going to sue you for billions, mate.
What?
Pickett and the other insurance execs storm out.
We've got to get back to our core business, the little people.
We could help fund their case, I suppose. I said to Sam, you want to win this case? The only safe way is to prove God does not exist.
That's easier said than done.
I saw an article which said they'll soon be able to, apparently.
A science magazine, wasn't it?
No, Presbyterian Monthly.
It's a question of faith. Either you believe he doesn't exist, or you don't.
Pinch me. Tell me I'm dreaming.
Now moving up and away from the court, where the people still milling around get smaller and smaller. Leaving the city behind and heading up above the blanket of clouds for a brief glimpse of hazy blue skies. Now, moving back down through the clouds and emerging above Steve's coastal hometown, he's motoring across the bay with Anna, who's on her phone.
Good. Yeah, great.
Yeah, thanks, bye.
She hangs up, then takes a sip from her flute of champagne.
How long is it going to take you to pay that money back?
Not long. 20, 30, 40 years.
Because you've just been offered $250,000 for your story.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
You want to be a lawyer all your life? Actually, it's worse than that. You've been offered $350,000 for the complete unabridged story.
Ooh, the fool, kissy-wissy, touchy-watchy. Ooh, great.
The steamy story.
Oh, our story.
Our story.
I could pay Les back.
Yep. $200 to buy a beautiful boat.
You know, I always fancied sailing to Shanghai.
It's too late, it's ruined. But I've heard Hanoi is wondrous.
Ooh.
There's pirates, though, on the way.
Ah, bugger them.
Typhoons, malaria.
Hey, Arthur, how'd you like the sound of that? Hanoi!
They eat dogs in Hanoi.
The small boat cruises on in the sunshine with Arthur perched on the bow.
Ain't no smiling face.